VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Saturday morning, it's 10 o'clock, and what's left of us are here live, as always, in the studio. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And if you'll take my preliminary apologies once again, I plan to get through the show without a coughing jag, but
yeah.
One could not necessarily say that that will happen.
This has been lingering for a while, hasn't it?
We have talked to so many people, and I have yet to meet anyone lately who has avoided this thing that's going around, whatever it is. I managed to pass it along to my wife, a little worse than I had it. I always thought secondhand things were supposed to be a little more mild, but apparently what strain you get or how you react to it or whatever is more powerful than most. But here we are, and in a fairly good mood, all things considered. Lots going on, so there's lots to talk about. I want to make an announcement that the station is having some phone problems today. If you do not get through, please keep trying, because we're not quite sure. We've got the tech folks working on it, trying to figure it out, but I don't know what's going to happen if you call in. But that's no excuse not to call in.
No, apparently there is one line that is open.
Okay, well, that's a good thing then. So anyway, back to what I was about to do, which is to thank all of you, the regulars, for always being here. We appreciate it. It's the reason we get up every day and do this. And to the new people, if you're new to the show and you had heard about it, stick around for a while, and hopefully you'll agree with what you heard, and you'll learn something. And if you're just catching us by accident because you forgot to hit the knob on your radio or something like that, that's fine, too. Listen in. We will try to kind of bring you up to date with everything that's going on. We'll give you a little look forward the way we see it. We'll talk about all the foolishness out there. It is only a one-hour show, so I guess we won't talk about all the foolishness. But we'll try to pick out the prime foolishness that's going on and tell you why we tend to look at things a little bit differently than a lot of people do. It has been an exciting year, and this is January 5th.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
There were three trading days so far.
Yes, and we will talk a little bit about Santa Claus rallies and things like that. But I'm going to let Adam kind of wrap up what happened. This is what I call a Dramamine market.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be a wild ride.
Yeah, about 8:30 in the morning you should take one, because it takes about an hour to make them effective. And from there on, there's going to be some ups and downs.
No doubt. If you thought 2019 was going to be different than the end of 2018, you would have thought wrong, because it was almost exactly like the end of 2019.
It certainly was.
And it was another wild week. We had a few 600-plus point moves on the Dow. But like last week, this week ended up positive. So a lot of people often forget that volatility can work in both directions, and it can actually benefit you. And it did this week. A blowout jobs report, some Fed speak that was more or less accommodative to less rate hikes this year, and the upcoming trade negotiations with China next week led to a 746-point positive day on Friday. Big day.
Yeah.
Of course, it came after a 660-something point drop on Thursday, so there was that.
But that was preceded
by a couple of other good days. So all in all, it worked out pretty well. The Dow is now up for the year 0.5%, the S&P 1%, and the NASDAQ 1.6%. And then all are up slightly more for the week, because our Monday was actually fell in last week, and it was positive as well. So not a bad couple of weeks, although they haven't felt particularly good, just because it's been so choppy.
When you have a down day like the down day we had,
yeah,
it's very hard. And even that was... that was preceded by the day where you had to get late into the day.
Right, before you saw...
yeah, you'd been staring at some ugly numbers, yep, for many hours before that happened. So it was a tough week to wind up as good as it did.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm going to get into the reasons behind those in a little bit. But first, I kind of wanted to recap what's happened so far this week. small and mid-cap stocks have been the biggest winners, and value stocks have also been leading the rally. On a sector basis, energy was the clear winner, gaining more than 4%, and communication services were up just under 4%. Tech and healthcare both posted losses of more than 0.5%, and utilities were off about 0.25%. And international markets were largely positive as well. Brazil leading the charge, gaining almost 10% this year in three trading days. Crazy. Russia, Japan, and Mexico all had strong starts as well, gaining more than 3%. Now, if you go back over what I just said, that is not a summary I've given in 2 years.
No,
almost nothing I said there has been true for almost 2 years.
Yeah, and you didn't mention France yet either, which was way off. But this is the reason I'm bringing this up is very important. What happened? We always love that question. What happened? Mm-hmm. And in France, the yellow shirts or whatever they're called happened. The rioting and so on. So there is a direct cause for France's plummet and the other countries over there doing much better.
Yeah, actually, we did see some positive news out of the Eurozone this week. So It's interesting. Energy and communications have been the clear laggards for a long time now. Telecom has been in the dumps. Energy, after oil hit 80 and has now dropped down where gas is under $2, it's been falling off a cliff. So
not for long.
Probably not. And then tech and healthcare have led the market. So for them to be the two that were off the most, which wasn't very much. But still, it's interesting. They always say that if something leads 1 year, it's almost guaranteed to not lead the next year. And so far, we're seeing that. Mm-hmm. Commodities led by oil's rise of more than 5% posted nice gains to start the year. The index was up almost 2.5% to start things off right. A lot of people happy to see that as they've been pretty disappointing as far as investing goes outside of natural gas.
At least one person in this room alone.
Yeah, exactly. Fixed income was also up to start the year. Long treasuries gained just under 0.5%, and the total bond market gained almost 0.3%. So a nice start in the bond market as well.
Yeah, you're going to see a little less pressure on bonds now because of Powell's announcement that they're not going to be aiming at the interest rate increases.
Yeah, the yield curve is pretty flat right now, which in itself doesn't mean much, but it is something to keep an eye on as well. So earlier I mentioned that Thursday the market plummeted more than 600 points, and it was a reaction to some very interesting news about Apple. As you all know, more than likely, Apple was a trillion-dollar company not long ago. And then the fourth quarter happened, and it knocked about 30% off of that market cap. That's a lot of cash.
Apple lost a Starbucks one day.
Yeah, that's about right.
It is. Just about the same amount of money that Starbucks is worth. That's what Apple declined on one day.
Well, I don't know if it was justified, but there's definitely more evidence mounting that it may have been. So they came out with a warning.
Yeah, but if you didn't see that coming, you weren't paying attention.
Well, I mean, so they're very coy about how they announced it, though. They blamed a lot of it on China. That part, I think we all can agree that's understood. But now it's kind of looking like there's iPhone sales weaknesses across the board and people aren't upgrading as quickly. So I'm sitting here with my iPhone 6S and not really thinking about getting a 10 or beyond. I kind of understand that the incremental increases in their phones haven't been as game-changing as they were
That's
prior.
That's what happens when you do your job too well.
Right, exactly. So it'll be really interesting to watch what happens with Apple going forward. They're still a great company, still a strong company, but if they don't convince people to buy new phones, it could be a problem for them.
I will give you my version of it on the other side of this break also. All right, I want to remind everybody, lines are technically open. I would love to know if they're working, so pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255. That's 222-TALK, and let us know if you would, please. Otherwise, we'll be right back after the break. This is the Vanley Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanley Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanley.
And I'm Adam Vanley.
And our trivia question today brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. And call Ken at 904-636-7888. And the question today is about timing the market. And I'll talk a lot more about that as the show goes on. There's an old saying that Adam knows. I've been tracking this quite a number of years. I have yet to disprove the theory, actually, although I think maybe I'll take another shot at disproving it. And and it's not really disproving it. The theory is very valid. The existence of an exception does not disprove a rule. Mathematics 101. Anyway, the old saying says that if you miss the seven best days each year in the stock market, you will make no money that year. All the money is made net on those 7 days. So I went back and I looked at the year that just went by this morning. We all know the Dow was down for the year a little over 5%. If you were in the market every day except the best seven, how far down would you be? And I'm going to give you a hint. It's more than seven. So I gave you a free point and a half in there. So how about that? So if you had missed the best 7 days, how much would you have lost just buying the Dow for that time? All right. You want to talk about jobs?
Let's talk about jobs.
Let's do, since there's a whole bunch of people that have them now.
Yeah, that didn't have them before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty crazy jobs report. The really interesting thing was the ISM manufacturing report that came in between the two jobs reports. It was sandwiched by two pretty outstanding jobs reports. And then, for some reason, it looked like manufacturing came to a halt in December, which we know isn't the case because the number was still above the 50, which signals expansion. So the manufacturing sector was still growing, but it had the largest single month drop since October of 2008, which kind of came out of nowhere. And the comments were really, really negative from the people that did the survey. So
spooked the market badly.
Badly, yeah. That was another reason besides Apple for the drop on Thursday. But on the good side, we saw that the ADP report came out Wednesday, showed an increase of 271,000 jobs, blew away the expectation.
Yeah,
the
expectations were, 180 or something like that.
And then the government report showed an increase of 312,000 jobs on Friday, which also blew away the expectations. And so what is happening there? I'm sure you have an opinion on it.
I have an opinion on it. It and everything else, as you know.
Fire away.
Well, it's really a pretty simple thing. The people who are forecasting gloom and doom in our economy are wrong. There. How's that?
I mean, but that wasn't a forecast. That was an actual reading on the ISM report.
Yeah, I don't worry about that. Just cut off times. Where Thanksgiving sits, where Christmas sits, I don't even pay attention to that. There's nothing more artificial than a cutoff date. And you having an outlier in there in any sequence of events is absolutely normal.
I think we have a phone call.
We do, actually. Callers first. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, Happy New Year, Adam and Steve.
Hey, Happy Chuck. New Year to you, too. I hope you had a good one.
Well, I mean, yeah, last year was a pretty good year for us. How about you?
We have very few complaints that wouldn't have been solved by another 6 points on the Dow, but hey, what the heck. Can't have it all.
So I noticed Investor's Business Daily last night went to a market in an uptrend. And since September, it's been going back and forth between market and a correction, market and uptrend about four times.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering what is going to sustain the uptrend going forward so we don't go back into a correction.
China deal. That's my answer.
I think that's the bottom line in two words. Not a bad response to that. Things just aren't that bad out there. Now, I know what you mean, though. We've been hitting lower lows and lower highs, and that trend has to reverse. But you know from listening a lot, that question that we always ask, why? There is no answer to the why out there. The economics are strong. The job market is strong. Interest rates are still reasonable, although higher. Things are just good, but there's uncertainty in that Chinese trade deal that really impacts the entire world. And you know that's coming to a halt if you just look at the Chinese stock market.
Yeah, the reason that you'll see it on the news, they won't say China in particular, but they'll call it a slowing global economy.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that just means China.
Yeah, China's down to, what, a 1.2% growth rate or something like that? Totally unacceptable for them. And if that's what they admit, think what it really might be.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah. So I think Adams nailed it right there, that what's going to happen this year will settle in the first quarter, at least the framework of a good China deal, and they'll at least pretend not to steal our stuff anymore, and the market will be happy, and here we go.
Yeah, that's that's what my view is, that any deal with China is dubious as far as whether they're actually going to live up to their end of the bargain.
I think that's being generous. I don't expect them to live up to it 100%. It might get a little better, especially at first, but I mean, they didn't get where they are by playing fair.
And the old story about the snake and the rabbit. Snake said he wouldn't bite the rabbit, and then he did. And the rabbit said, "You said you wouldn't bite." He says, "I'm a snake. That's what snakes do." That's China. They're a snake. But they're also a vital part of our purchasing power, both directions. What they send us that's inexpensive, and what they buy from us that's made over there, they're both equally important. But China's equal is a little bit bigger than our equal because their population is so much bigger. You know, four times as many people that have to get by on it. But I'm absolutely convinced Adam's right.
I agree with you guys, but one other wild card, and that is, what about the constant daily drumbeat from the Democrats about impeachment? Do you think that is going to affect the market?
How's your sense of humor? If you sit back like we do and just laugh at it, it won't impact you. Remember, and never forget, Wall Street is run by rich liberals. Remember that. You are not going to see the reaction on Wall Street that you might have personally from your own internal politics going on. They are going to be very happy that Trump's getting his, so to speak.
Does anyone else think that Trump has a kind of backroom deal with Pelosi that won't happen too? He seems to be awful congratulatory towards her, which is very unusual for him. And I don't know. I just feel like he's already cut that deal, that it won't happen.
I think there's a little bit of him that feels sorry for her, but she's got to put up with these new people. You know, the one that everybody uses initials, I call her OCD. The little socialist. Nancy Pelosi can't even get on TV if she's in the same neighborhood because all the cameras are going to be pointing over there.
Oh, she's so fun to watch.
Oh, man, she is a kick.
Do you know that little twit blocked me on Twitter? And I've never even tried to contact her. I've never sent a tweet her way. And yet I looked at it one day and was like, God, she blocked me on Twitter, and I've never even tried to contact her.
My friend, you can wear that as a badge of honor.
I haven't been blocked by her. I need to get blocked.
Yeah, catch up here, boy.
Seriously.
How'd I raise him, huh?
That's funny.
I think that's hysterical. I honestly take the politics out of the whole thing, except as an amusement, because they can't win. Trump's not going to roll over like every other Republican president has ever done. It's not going to be a no new taxes, read my lips moment with him. You're going to build a darn wall.
When's the shutdown going to end?
Good question.
I don't know. What year is it? What quarter of this year, I would say. If it's not done by the 1st of February, I, for one, am going to be shocked. I don't think Pelosi and Schumer and company can put up with it any longer than that, as their arguments just aren't making sense. Everybody knows walls work. Look at the Border Patrol people. Look at Israel. All the places they've tried, they've been successful.
Yeah.
Now you got 15,000 more in a caravan down in Honduras headed this way. Oh, another mythical group of people, right? It doesn't really exist until they get there, and then they appear out of nowhere. Come on, people. We're not that stupid. That's the way I see it.
But I don't see an end to that in sight currently. I know it's out there, but I can't predict how that's going to go down. Chuck, do you have any ideas?
Well, Lindsey Graham floated an idea about Trump giving a little bit on DACA and then in return get the wall funding. So I don't know. That could be a possible bridge there.
Lindsey got a lot smarter when he decoupled from McCain, didn't he?
Yes.
His own ideas are very insightful and very common sense. Very often, he just hid them well for a couple of decades. I'm glad to see him back.
So. I still think that we need to do something. I disagree with Trump on the immigration thing. I still think we're not doing enough to encourage smart foreigners to come and relocate and live in the United States, and
absolutely,
making the H-1B process streamlined and a lot easier. So there's definitely room to give there. I don't know how he'll end up doing it, but we need more smart foreigners.
But those people, the problem is those people might not wind up being Democrats. I don't know that Pelosi and Schumer want that kind of person in here, even though they'd be excellent for the economy, that make a lot of money, wind up starting companies and all the things that we care so much about. It's very hard to say. But anyway, that's our look at it. The music's playing. We got to run. Do you want to take a quick shot at the trivia? How much would you have lost if you were not in for those 7 great days?
8%.
More than that, but you've narrowed it down a little bit. I appreciate your call. Don, we'll take you right after the break, and thanks for the call, Chuck.
Thanks.
Okay, we're going to take a little break. We'll come back, and we'll talk to Don, and then we'll do a little more market wrap and a couple other goodies that we want to work in today if there's time. But I'd much rather talk to you guys, so call us. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Lee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Lee.
And I'm Adam Van Lee.
I'm going to make a quick review of our trivia question in case Don wants to take a shot at it. The old saying on Wall Street is that if you miss the best 7 days of the year, you're not going to make any money in the market that year. We know that we didn't make money in the market this year anyway. It was off a little over 5%. But had you missed the top 7 days, how much would you have lost? And we know it's 8%. We know it's more than 8%, technically. Good morning, Don.
Hey, Van Lees, how y'all doing? I hope y'all doing good.
We're improving slowly. Thank you very much. How about you?
Hey, I heard a big joke on y'all station this morning, and I want you to know, I laughed for 5 minutes.
All right.
What was
they
that?
They say they're going to impeach Pelosi and that other idiot up there, and Schumer. They still think they can impeach Trump. But I got news for you. Trump is an old New Yorker, and he is going to win every battle, including this one over at the Mexican border. And I want you to know that stock market this year is going to go through the roof. But I'm going to invest it, and my money's coming back to me, and I want you to know I put a lot in there. So there it is in a nutshell, people.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Take care of yourself and check in once in a while.
All right, buddy, bye.
I did forget to ask him about trivia. Right. Yeah, I forgot to ask, but you can call back if you want to take a shot at it. Anyway, a couple more things on wrap-up. You got anything else from the jobs report? I have a few little details.
No, a couple of things. The unemployment rate actually ticked up, and that was due to more people coming back in the workforce as the participation rate went to 63.1, I believe, which was the highest we've seen in a long time.
Did you see all the economic data releases this week?
That didn't get released, or
no,
the ones that actually
ones
did?
That did.
I don't know which
one of them was a miss for the participation rate.
Oh, okay.
You know why?
No.
Because they, you know, the they out there, who are those guys? They were anticipating an increase from what's been 62.9, I guess. It went up to 63.1. They were anticipating a move up to something like 65.
What? In a month?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
2/10 is a huge move in a month. They were expecting 2 points or more?
But the, no.
And that's called a miss. I'm not making this up. I couldn't.
But their numbers for employment increases were estimated to be 180,000, not 312.
Yes.
So
what were they expecting the unemployment rate to be? 7?
I don't know.
Strange. Which, by the way, 7.6 is the U6 now.
Yeah, that's really low.
That's half of what it was not that many years ago. A couple other things that I thought were interesting. Jobs added for November, an additional 21,000. October added an additional 37,000, which means the overall creation rate that was reported yesterday was double the expectation. Hmm. How about that?
Wow.
Yeah. Labor force was up 546,000 people. People coming into the market. This one I thought was interesting. The black unemployment rate rose because they are coming back into the market in numbers that we have not seen for a long, long time, which means they're optimistic. And all I can say is I hope it keeps happening because that's the best thing that could possibly happen. You'd give them a better look at what real economics is under Trump than what we put up with for 8 years. So I thought that was kind of an interesting little summary. And so far, as this all relates to what we do, the things that you keep hearing, I've got one in here. Gary Schilling. You know all the names that we use, like the Stansberries and all this? Just don't read these people. He's on that list to me. He has issued this week his forecast, and his forecast says there is a 66% chance of a recession in 2019. Now, can you, in your wildest dreams, figure out how we can go from that jobs report within 12 months to a recession? I cannot.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen. It's not...
Oh, yeah, a mushroom cloud over Tel Aviv, as I always say. Yeah, maybe that would create that kind of a panic out there. There is just such stupidity in the media out there as to their forecasts or predictions or whatever they want to call them about this next year. The economy is in excellent shape. Manufacturing added another 32,000 jobs.
The same people that had the biggest miss in their...
Yeah, and
the
ADP report had 12,000 increase, and the establishment data showed 32,000 jobs. Hmm. Now, folks, manufacturers don't hire people in order to close down factories and lay off people. It doesn't happen. And when your manufacturing is growing, it means demand for all kinds of things is growing. Hard goods, cars, see the auto sales, auto and truck sales, jumped right back up again. People take a little bit of getting used to when they're a little shell-shocked by the increases in interest rates. But now those interest rates have settled into a nice little pocket. Everybody knows pretty much what they are, and they're out spending money again. It's just such stupidity, and it boggles my mind. Bottom line is I'll keep reporting it because you got to know how crazy this stuff is. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, the... 2018 ended with a record number of people employed. It's the 14th record under the Trump presidency. The total number of people employed is 156,945,000.
And there's still job openings in excess of people to fill them.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a predictor of a recession. And even the flattening yield curve, it has not inverted yet. And three times out of the last 20 years or so, it has actually inverted without leading into a recession. Sure, you look at all this stuff, but I don't know how you make these wild predictions that are just so out of line with everything we can see.
Well, it got you talking about it, didn't it?
It did indeed. Maybe that's their goal, to get me talking about it, complaining about it. All right, how would you like to become a more charitable person? There might be an incentive to do so. Yeah, somebody.
They kind of took away our incentives in the last tax code change.
That's what this is all about. Those of you who listen to the show a lot know that one of the things that was retained in the new tax law was the qualified charitable distribution, which means that people who are required to take RMDs from their retirement accounts are able to send all or part of the RMD, required minimum distribution, to a charity direct. That way they don't get taxed on the withdrawal, that no 1099 follows, and then they don't have to try to deduct it to get their money back, because most people now, we know from last week, we went down to 30% of taxpayers. Our prior years were deducting, itemizing deductions, and this year going to drop to 13%. So there's about 17% of us out there who are no longer able to claim charitable deductions. Because they don't add up, unless you're really charitable, they don't add up to more than your standard deduction. I think it's easier for singles now at $12,000.
Yeah, for sure. We have a pretty charitable client base, and we did a lot of these in the last month. So it was. I'm pretty glad that's over, actually, because they're easy to do, but there is some time consuming mm-hmm. part of it. So, but our clients gave a lot of their. What would have been their RMD is a way to charity, so good mm-hmm. for them.
Well, here's a new proposal introduced by Representative Chris Smith, a Republican from New Jersey. There's a Republican in New Jersey?
Who knew?
Not I. But it's co-sponsored by Henry Cuellar, a Democrat from Texas.
Okay. You reverse those.
I know. I double checked reading it right before I did it, and it's, maybe the internet's backwards. I don't know. Anyway, these two have gotten together, and they've introduced a bill that would allow unlimited charitable deductions, even if you don't itemize.
Huh. I love it.
That's precisely what I said. The charities are expecting a fairly sharp drop
this year.
People have not yet quite figured out the new tax law because it's not April 15th yet. But I think a lot of people in the next several weeks are going to hear from their tax preparers saying you no longer want to itemize your deductions because there's just not that much of them anymore. And then they're going to say, well, then I'm not going to do my $1,000 to this and that and the other thing anymore. And these people, Smith and Cuellar, are ganging together saying, look, the charities in this country are very dependent on people's generosity. This would step them right back up where they were. And I absolutely agree with them. And I give them kudos for coming up with what I think is the best idea so far this year.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, more after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can call Troy at 662-9794. Trivia question remains out there from First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. It's about market timing. If you try to time the market, you might miss the best 7 days of the year. And had you been able or willing to try to do some things that don't work like that, and you had missed those 7 days, instead of down 5, how much would you have been down? It was more than 8. And then I'll give you the reverse of that when somebody gets it right or at the end of the show. Lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. There is a quick little article here that caught my eye. I showed Adam a little earlier. It says, Confessions of a Broke Financial Advisor. This guy was a Charles Schwab advisor for 18 years, and he and his partner racked up a little bit of debt, shall we say. So it sounds to me like a case of do as I say, not as I do. But two things actually caught my eye. One, they had racked up $50,000 in credit card debt.
Ouch.
What's the first sign that you are doing things incorrectly?
Credit card debt.
That is unbearable. And, of course, interest rates on credit cards are going which direction nowadays? And if you're not really good at paying for them, they're going to go up even more. But here's one that really got me. They initiated a turnaround by spending less frivolously on clothing and travel. Okay,
that's good.
Cutting their grocery bills and dining out less. Here's the pull quote. When we pared down our dining out, we saved about $30,000 per year.
So maybe you were going out a little bit more than you should have.
And maybe to some of the wrong places.
Yeah, that is an expensive year in dining.
Seriously, people? $30,000 a year saved by going out less often?
That's crazy.
Okay.
No wonder you had $50,000 of credit card debt.
He stresses that almost half of Americans cannot afford a $400 emergency and says that people should try to save at least 3 to 6 months of living expenses in an emergency account. If you know so much,
maybe a career change.
But, hey, he got himself straight. I give the guy infinite credit for doing the right thing eventually.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are dealing with us or thinking of dealing with us, don't worry. We don't do that.
No, I think you would find we actually practice what we preach.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of dealing with us, want to tell people how?
Sure.
It's a new year now. We're starting to see some new people come in the door, and maybe you'd like to be one of them.
Yeah, so we, in our day jobs, we are certified financial planners. We are fiduciaries, and we are happy to tell you that. And if you ever want to find out if your financial planner is a fiduciary, I would ask him, because if he is, or her, they will be happy to tell you, and we are, which means that we always put your interests ahead of our own. And that is the oath we took when we signed up to be fee-only fiduciaries. So if you want to find us, we're located in Jacksonville Beach, but we're right off of the Butler Boulevard Marsh Landing exit. So we're easy to get to from all points in the city. If you want to call us, we're at 685-1505. Or you can find us online at VanWeeFinancial.com. And we do a lot of stuff on our website. You can book a meeting with us right from that website. Or we do our post our weekly podcast, which is this radio show with the commercials edited out. Or you can also read our blogs, which has lots of up-to-date financial information. So check it out. I think you'll enjoy it. And hopefully we'll see you soon.
And, of course, if you want to book an initial meeting for a little discussion about your situation, the cost of that is a big flat zero. Pretty hard to beat.
Yep.
All right, one more quick little, well, two more maybe, little headline. I saw this one last week right after the show. I went home and fired up the computer, and this one jumped out at me. There is a secret Trump deal. It's worth $40,983 for each taxpayer. No, there isn't. That is among the dumbest things I have ever read in my life. There are no secret deals. There is no $40,983 for each taxpayer. There are ways you can refinance your mortgage and save a little on it. There are other things you can do. There is no secret deal. And then there's a radio ad that's flying around some unnamed stations all over the area that says, "I can." Oh, and TV stations actually too. "I can change your risky IRAs into lifetime tax-free income." Folks, I can do that too.
And the other thing is, it's not tax-free.
Well, it will be when you turn it into income, which happens right after you take all the money out of your IRAs and pay full income taxes on it right now.
Right.
So in other words, I can take about 65% of your money and turn it into lifetime tax-free income if you want me to. But the other 35% is going to go to Washington, D.C., and you're never going to see it again. Why? Why? And then there's another one out there, too, that says you can double your money risk-free. No, you can't.
No, it's not possible. Well, you can, but it would take about 50 years.
Yeah. The definition of risk-free is U.S. Treasury bills. That is the accepted definition of the risk-free rate of return for investors everywhere. Using that, it might take you 30 to 50 years to double your money. You cannot do it in 7, 8, 9 years risk-free. Can you do it? Sure you can.
Definitely. In fact, it's 7 to 10 years is sort of the, if you take the appropriate amount of risk, it's sort of the generally accepted amount of time that it would take.
But the claims out there that they're doing this tax-free, or excuse me, risk-free? No, people. Whenever you go 0.1% in return above the current T-bill rate, you are now exposing yourself to a risk product.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's real estate. I don't care if it's an annuity. I don't care what it is. You are exposing yourself to risk by definition. Don't let these people fool you. Now, it might be a perfectly good product in all fairness, but why don't we sell what it will do, not what you hope it will do or what you think it might do? You know, our buddy Stan, the annuity man, has an expression. I think he's got as many as I do. He's got one for almost every occasion. But my favorite one of his is, you buy an annuity for what it will do. You don't buy it for what it might do. I think that is just absolute brilliance. All right, I'm holding in my hand a postcard, albeit a large one, sized Form 1040. Gee, Paul Ryan was right, wasn't he? They put the 1040 form for taxes this year right here on this oversized postcard.
Mm-hmm.
Think you're going to get away with just filing this little thing? No. Unless you used to file a Form 1040 EZ, which was a whole page long, you're not going to file a postcard either. Because if you've got any complexity in your life, your financial life at all, you're going to have to file one of these or more. Schedule 1 lets you add additional sources of or adjustments to income that aren't on the 1040. Schedule 2 It's included if the taxpayer owes the alternative minimum tax. Schedule 3, and by the way, you have to go back and calculate that to see if you have to file a Schedule 2. Schedule 3, required for those who wish to claim non-refundable tax credits. Schedule 4, other taxes that are not included on Form 1040 are in Schedule 4, self-employment tax, health care tax, household employment tax, unreported Social Security and Medicare tax, and any additional taxes on IRAs or other qualifying retirement plans. Schedule 5 is known as the other payments and refundable credits. Schedule 6 is for taxpayers who have a foreign address or a third-party designee. Does that sound like a postcard to you folks? What was I saying? Smoke and mirrors, smoke and mirrors. All right. All the money is made in the market 7 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been pretty universally true. This year, if you had missed those 7 days, rather than going from making money to not making money, since you wouldn't have made money anyway this past year, you would have, instead of losing about 5.5%, you would have lost about 24% if you missed those days. Now, the other side of that expression is, how much would you make if you could miss the worst 7 days of the year?
There were several 1,000-point down days last year.
Yep. You would have made 18%, excuse me, on the Dow only by missing the 7 worst days. Now, if somebody will call me between now and next week and tell me how to do that, I'll be happy to listen. Doesn't work. You can't time this market, people. And if you haven't proved it in the last couple of weeks, then you really need to pay more attention. We'll see you next week. Thanks for being here. This is the Banwe Financial Hour, and the Happy New Year.